Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning, this sermon is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 4, reading from the verse 1 as follows. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and they will lift up you in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered him, It is also written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Fyodor Dostoevsky once remarked that if the entirety of Scripture were lost, and only this page would remain, whoever found it and read it would have to know that here he had seen God. When I was thinking about the Gospel lesson that was read today, and was wondering how to comment on what it means to show the Word, I couldn't do any better than to go back to that time which was decisive in our Lord's life when He was planning His ministry. He had been out in the desert 40 days and 40 nights, we are told, and He was hungry. No doubt, during those 40 days and 40 nights that He was out there in the desert, He was planning how it was that He was going to bring that gospel of forgiveness to a lost humanity. The task in front of Him was staggering. The weight that burdened Him down must have been awful. And He made those decisions and those plans out there all by Himself, with His prayers to His God. And I think it must, of course, be that way. Isn't it that way with us also when we are faced with some really serious decisions? That those decisions are often taken in prayer in the wee small hours of the morning when there is no one else there to clutter our thoughts. And He emerged from this, and then Satan struck. Because Satan must have known that in a certain sense it was now or never. And I've heard pastors expostulate about this first temptation, saying, you know, Jesus Christ must have been very hungry indeed, not having eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. I don't think that has anything whatever to do with the temptation. I think that the key to that temptation is given us in the very words which Satan used when he said, If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He was challenging Christ's knowledge of himself. Are you really sure that you are the Son of God? Or is this some mad dream? If you are going to indeed bring the message of the gospel to all these people in this world, you're going to need all the resources that you can command. Find out what you can do. turn these stones into bread, you can use it. But our Lord Jesus Christ knew who he was, and he simply said to Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And that is to say, if I've got any gimmicks in my pack, they're not going to be what saves this world. But our Lord wasn't through with trying to pry open the door of doubt in our Lord's mind. He took him to the holy city, and we are told to the highest pinnacle, and he sat him on the highest pinnacle, and he said, again, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and they will bear you up in their hands, and you won't dash your foot against the sky. But our Lord Jesus Christ knew not only who he was, but he knew his Father. And he did not have any need to test his Father. Indeed, he said, it is written, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God, because he knew what a God is, and he knew that if he were to save this world indeed, it would not be by flashing expositions of his and his Father's power. But Satan's not true. Satan had left something that always worked. And he took him to the highest mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. What was that all about? Our Lord was faced with an enormous task. And Satan was taunting him. And I suppose he must have said to him, look at you. You've got no friends, you've got no power, you've got no wealth, you've got no influence. You haven't even got a decent set of clothes. You haven't got a house. You haven't even got a job. And you're going to save the world. You've got to be kidding. But I can fix it. You're in my kingdom now, and if you're going to gain my kingdom, you're going to have to use the tools of my kingdom, and they're all here. Wealth, power, influence, honor, you name it, you got it. All it takes is a nod, and nobody will ever know except you and me. But our Lord Jesus Christ knew that all of this power and wealth and influence and all of this career planning and what have you would not do anything at all toward his goal. He knew that the only thing that mattered was that love that he had, which impelled him to come here in the first place. That was the only thing that he ever had, and that's the only thing that he ever needed. And that is what it was to turn the world upside down. But you know, the Christian church has always had a problem with that kind of a Savior. And that problem cropped up rather early on. For we are told in Matthew chapter 11 that John was in prison. John was the one, you recall, who said of Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hear ye him. And now John was fallen on evil days, and he was in prison. And so he listened to find out what was going on out there. He listened to find out the progress of the Messiah to reclaim the throne of David. And what did he hear? He didn't like what it was that he heard. Because he heard that our Lord Jesus Christ was stealing his time with people who had nothing to offer him in return. They were the blind and the deaf and the halt and the maimed and the prisoners and the hungry. And can you believe it? Lepers. And so he sent his disciples to Jesus and said to him, and this must have been very hard indeed for him to do, are you the one? Or do we look for another? And there are those who say John really knew, and he was sending the disciples there for his own benefit, but Jesus knew better, because he told the disciples, go and tell John what you hear and see. And then he threw back in John's teeth the things that made him God in the first place. The blind receive their sight, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the leprous are cleansed. Prisoners are freed. The dead are raised to life, and the gospel is preached to the poor. And blessed is he who is not offended in me. And if you were to ask me, what is the meaning of mission? What is missions all about? What is your mission? What is my mission? It is exactly that mission that our Lord Jesus Christ portrayed to us when he said these words. And that mission is exactly this, that the blind may see, and the deaf hear, and the lame walk, and the hungry be fed, and the lepers be cleansed, and the dead be raised to life, and the gospel be preached to the poor. For when it comes to the gospel, we are all the poor. You know, we find it hard to do that. Because we find it hard to believe that those awful people with whom we so often are thrown into contact are the people that our Lord Jesus Christ was talking about when he said, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. It's hard for us to believe that we look into the eyes of our lost fellow men who are lost in the same way that we are, that we are looking into the very eyes of Christ. And it's even harder to believe, as Christ says, that when we look into his eyes, we look at the Father. So when the disciples said to him, Lord, show us the Father, you remember what he said, I have no doubt, you have seen the Father, you have seen me. You have seen the Father, you have seen me. And perhaps that is why our Lord Jesus Christ loved us all so deeply. And so I pray the Lord this morning that he would give us all a full measure of his Spirit. Make in our hearts that love to grow so that we can fulfill that message of mission with all of our brothers and with whom we come in contact. And now may courage, joy, and a quiet mind, and all of the gifts of a loving Father to his children be with all of us now and forever. Amen.